Welcome to Ireland's most famous podcast. Well, I kid you not, I'm here with the one, the only, the great Lawrence O'Brien.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us and making us number 1,666,000 in the list. That means we are ahead of the other two or three who are below us in the list. So thank you, Kevin, for pointing out. You got really excited.
Well, I did get an email from someone. I don't know if it was a spam saying that you are now ranked number six in something storytelling in Apple's studios at number so-and-so in Apple studios. So. And we have put very little effort into promotion.
So, zero effort into promotion. And but we've had a great celebration, which included, nothing yet. Anyway.
He's actually gone Dolly Dimple.
Okay.
It's sad. So, I'll take over the show because I think Lawrence needs to go away, lie down, and take a few deep breaths. Meanwhile, I'm going to say two wonderful things happened.
Go ahead.
The first one was that I went to Ghent and Antwerp and saw one of the great pieces of art, the Ghent Altar piece. The second is I didn't write one bloody word. So I'm just confessing. I didn't do my 3,000 words, but I did stimulate myself by seeing the Ghent Altar piece, a piece of European history and the viciousness and the nastiness. And then I went to Antwerp, where all the Hasidic Jews are, and the diamonds and this mixed population with the Muslims and everything. And it was really fascinating. So I feel really invigorated to write. Now, whether that gets me off the hook, Lawrence, am I given absolution or not?
If you go away for several days, it just takes over your mind. So yes, absolutely. Takes you off the hook, but we'll be expecting something next. Will you be around all next week to write?
And the tragic news is I'm off to Slovenia on another but junket, but I am going to write.
You're off to Slovenia? Yeah. When are you off to Slovenia?
Friday, I think.
Friday? Today's Friday.
Next week.
You're not going for a week then? Okay.
I'm going for 4 days.
4 days, but you're leaving here in a week.
Yes.
Which means you do have a few days.
Absolutely.
Where you can do some writing. So, a couple of dozen words, perhaps.
No need for that.
So.
I thought I was getting absolution, not guilt trip.
No, okay. I don't mind. It's up to you, Kevin. You know, it's really up to you. Just laid on the guilt trip here. It's really up to you, you know.
Okay, so this is going to happen. So what do we do when we've done no words for a week because of life?
Just keep going. Just put it aside. You don't give up. It's not an excuse to give up, Kevin.
Okay.
That's the main thing. It's not an excuse to give up.
Okay.
There's real potential in what you're working on. I was thinking about this. What you're working on, there's huge potential in this. There's money on the table waiting for you to pick it up. It's just sitting there. The table, you just have to get over a few hurdles to get to the table.
Oh, that is so
a
wonderful.
Few hurdles. The money
that is such a brilliant idea. The money is waiting
in the future.
On the table.
It's
that
in
is
the
fantastic.
Future waiting for you. Okay. It's going to be sent to your bank account on a monthly basis. You just have to get over a few hurdles.
Lawrence, okay? I love you. You're just fantastic. Thank you for that.
So please.
So this is the great thing about having a pal when you're writing, because you can have a bit of madness and you do actually get encouragement and you do have to confess your sins, though, don't you?
You do. Absolutely.
Okay, so I am now taking over the mantle of absolution.
Yes.
Maybe you don't need any absolution. So how was your week?
So my week was fraught as well.
Okay.
Doctor's appointments, trying to stay on track. My hand almost went cathartic, you know, unable to write. The miracle of modern medicine, the doctor gave me a pill. Okay. He said, there's a pill. And weirdly, it actually
worked. A writing
pill? No, it worked. My hand, I can now write. So, and then we had lots of crises in work, the usual stuff, things not working.
Okay, how many words? Let's get cut to the chase.
I've probably got about 2,000 done. Okay, mainly because I started early. I did work on Saturday and Sunday. The week was horrible. But on Saturday and Sunday, I got good work done. So that's maybe something to think about. If you can start early Saturday and Sunday, get some under the table, get some in the bag under the table, you can keep going. So that's...
Well, well done, Lawrence. I just have to say that now I'm suitably impressed. 2,000 words on a hard week.
Yeah, just...
Zero words on an interesting week.
Saturday and Sunday. It's starting early, getting some in on Saturday and Sunday. And my hearing problem, the doctor also helped with that. So I'm feeling much better now, looking forward to keeping going and getting some good ideas from the books I'm reading, getting ideas for another book. And
in the same series? I mean,
no,
you've been
completely different. I'm thinking of writing something completely different.
Well, can I just say one point, that when Lauren said we have to write, if we're going to make money, we have to write. Multiple titles in that genre of, you know, Scrooge or Sin or whoever it is. It's not just one book's going to cut it. And I was thinking when I was away how to expand the repertoire of, you know, Scrooge.
Go on, tell us.
Well, I should have written it down because it was a very good idea because I went, that's a great idea. But I can't remember what the great idea was. That's the importance.
Do you think it was related to...
It was definitely related to a title. I think I was looking at something in St. Barbara's Cathedral. This is the great thing about going travelling. It gives you a magic of change. And it's in St. Barbara's Cathedral. And I was looking at... I think it was... they had a relic of St. John the Baptist's head. Because St. Barbara's was originally St. John the Baptist Church.
Okay.
And it was something about this was brought back from... the Crusades.
Yes.
And it was turned into, it was a big gold head of St. John, and somewhere inside was a relic. Yes. And that got me thinking about, oh yes, now I got it. Should I share the idea?
Yes,
or should
share
I
it, share it. Come on, before it goes.
Well, one of the panels of the very famous painting I was there to venerate has gone missing. It went missing, I think, during one of the thefts of the Ghent altarpiece by Jan van Egg.
Yes.
This is proper pronunciation. And there's multiple panels, all absolutely priceless and incredible. One of the panels of the wise men, they all come to venerate the Lamb, the Lamb of God, the Christ figure as a Lamb. And these are the wise men panel on the left-hand side. It's the only panel that hasn't been recovered after Hitler stole it, after the Louvre stole it, after Napoleon, I believe, tried to steal it.
Ooh.
And it's still out there.
Ooh.
Priceless.
Ooh. So how would this relate to your series?
I don't know. I thought it could be really interesting because it's a mystery. And I could somehow...
So which character will go on into the second book?
It has to be Ebenezer Scrooge.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
And his dad, Scorpius.
Okay. So is he a big collector?
He's a billionaire.
He's a billionaire. So he might be interested in such a novel.
Well, he's also had a change of faith. So he's a nice guy from this novel onwards.
Oh.
He's a philanthropist and a do-gooder.
Oh, okay.
Because he stopped being the miser and the nasty person.
Wow. So it's a panel from the adoration.
Ghent altarpiece, the mystic lamb.
The mystic lamb
adoration. In Ghent.
And there's a panel missing.
There's a panel.
That's really interesting.
It is
That's
interesting.
Really interesting.
So.
Panel missing.
Yeah.
So, who were the last people to have it be previous to the cathedral? Where were
I'd
they?
I'd have to go and check my history because there's a lot stuffed into my brain.
Was it packaged up and sent to one of those places in Germany where they kept all the?
I think it had gone before then, if I recollect correctly. What happened was the Ghent altarpiece was created in 1432 or. Consecrated in 1439, I think. Roundabout. And then what happened is Protestantism swept Europe and the iconoclasts came because the Protestants believed you should not show the very much like, I think in Islam as well, isn't it? There's a part of that, the belief where you should not show God.
Yes, yes.
And so they came, so they were called iconoclasts, and in the UK they went to Canterbury Cathedral and smashed all of the beautiful saints' heads and the Madonna's heads on the fronts of buildings because it represented part of the deity.
Yes.
So they hid the altarpiece in the tunnel. They had to build it and take it up while the mob with their pickaxes and their lanterns were going to torch it.
Wow.
So they hid it. And I think it was... And then it was moved in some rebellion and some one of the conquests. I mean, the interesting thing about looking at something like the Ghent altarpiece, you see that what we're seeing today in Jerusalem and in Ukraine and across the world, it happens all the time in human history. One person says, "That's my land. I'm going to put a stake through your heart if you don't get out." Yes. And the Ghent altarpiece, you could see it eddying and shifting on the seas of human conflict. Yes.
We're so nice to each other, aren't we, humans? We've a history, really. We don't record our history in wars. We record our history in nice and gratitude and things that we do to support each other. We're such a wonderful, generous race, species. If you were an alien, you'd be astounded by
it. Well, I mean, look at the Matrix and how, you know, Agent Smith, you know, who's one of the guys who's trying to crush the people who want to get free, and he smells them, and he smells the skin. He says, you're a virus, and we are a sort of a virus.
Yes, but that's looking at the downside. Okay,
there but then we do things like the Ghent altarpiece, and we make beautiful novels like the novels our dear readers or listeners are writing.
So I'll just tell you about one thing in my research, where I'm going with, where Sin is going to go, okay? So she is currently in Novgorod, the new city, which is right at the top of Russia. And she has
to... It's cold up there.
Yeah, she has to escape there.
Because of the bishop.
To escape there. There's a bishop after her, actually, okay? Because... It's the early days as a witch.
She's a seer,
okay, which is bad. She's predicting things, which is not
good. Burn her at the stake, is what I say.
Well, we're not quite into burning at the stake century. This is 1071. Okay. So, but she has to escape because the bishop wants to drag her to Rome.
That's much better than being burned at the stake, isn't it? Dragged across Europe in the cold. Then faced with the bishop, the pope, who's going to say, off with her head.
Off with her, whatever. Anyway, so she's escaping, and she'll escape by river. There's all sort of marshes and things. They have to get to the Dnieper and then go down to Kiev, of course, which was part of that Viking system. And then she will go to Constantinople, where the emperor, Constantinople at the time, the Roman Empire, they consider themselves Roman
Holy
Empire.
Holy Roman Empire.
No, not the Holy Roman Empire, that's Germany. Oh. The Roman Empire, okay, the Eastern Roman Empire, you might call it, if you're Western, but they consider themselves the Roman Empire. And he's facing a threat from the Seljuk Turks, okay? And so in 1071, there's the famous Battle of Manzikert, okay, which is right out there on Armenia, the Armenian border. And so Sin is going to get involved with the emperor, with the emperor's family. And so that's where it's going. She gets straight in. She's going to go down straight in. And because she's a seer and she's building her reputation. Now, the thing when you build a reputation is, right, say if somebody said, Kevin can predict the future, right? And everyone starts talking about you. And even if you can't predict the future, okay, your life could suddenly depend on your ability to predict the future. So her life is depending, her reputation, because she meets the king of Novgorod, okay? The king of Novgorod says, I'm going to cut all your heads off, right? But I believe you have powers, okay? So, okay, you have a choice facing you, okay? Which is either accept you might have some powers, right? Or have your head cut off. So which would you do as a human, okay? So she accepts this. She takes all of this on board, okay? And she embraces the idea that she has powers because they help her survive and prosper, which 1,000 years ago, this sort of thing... if you could prove you had powers, okay, and she has been seen that she does have some powers, you're going to have to read the book to find out more, or keep listening to this podcast and you will find out more, okay? So that's where I'm going.
And I just want to say, as Lawrence was speaking, I got an epiphany. An epiphany, as you may know, dear listener, is from the James Joyce Ulysses thing where suddenly a truth is revealed. And as I was listening to you, I thought about the panel and I thought about the mystic lamb, and I thought about, because it's a Christian theme, I could use that as sort of his redemptive power, because I believe in all that stuff. So it could be a sort of a, yeah.
Yes, now we're getting good. That sounds really good. So this podcast has been really useful. I hope you, dear listener, are getting an epiphany or two too, okay? And thank you very much for listening. How are we doing?
Well, we're going to get numbers from me next week.
Okay.
Those numbers cannot be zero. They have to be zero plus.
Correct. Zero plus. We're relying on you, Kevin. This is really good. We're relying on you. You know, we need you, Kevin.
Because the money's waiting.
On the table, okay?
You can see it.
You can almost see it. You can feel it. You can smell it, okay? Do you know the smell of money?
Okay, enough. We're going. I'm getting excited by the smell of money. Right. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.